Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Do You Live for This World or the World to Come?
Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our coming King. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on John the Baptist and questions related to him. And today, I'd like to look with you at this question. Are you looking forward to that world to come, that promised kingdom, as John the Baptist did? Are you looking forward to that coming age? Are your sights set on heavenly realms and not on the things of this earth? For it seems to me clear in Scripture that John the Baptist had his sights set on the world to come, didn't he? His life, his drive, his purpose was clear, to point people to the coming kingdom of the Christ, to that future, that promised world, that the people might be ready for it, that they might live for it, strive for it, even die for it, that they may enter it blessed. And so today, I want to ask this question to you and to myself as well. Where are your hearts aimed today? Are they aimed at the things of the world to come? Are you living for the things of this world or the things of the world to come? Are you striving for the things of this world or striving for the things of the world to come? Are all your work and efforts and heart aimed at riches and honor and pleasures of this life and this world? Are they aimed at the riches and honor and pleasures of the life of the world to come in Jesus Christ, the kingdom? And so today, let's take a look at this together and see what God would teach us through his holy word. Which world are we to be aiming at, this one or the next? And do you have that same perspective on the world to come as did John the Baptist? So let's look at that. What can we say? Well, first, we can take a look at John the Baptist. He certainly seemed to have an aim and an eye toward the world to come, didn't he? We've said that, but let's look at it and read it in Scripture. Matthew chapter 3. We read, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he talking about? A kingdom that's coming. All right, and then he goes on, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. What's he talking about there? A coming king. All right. Verse 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, and he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What's he talking about there? A future judgment. The wrath to come. And what's going to happen at that day of judgment? We can see in verse 10, 12. His winnowing fork, the king's winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. What's he talking about there? A future world where some will inherit everlasting condemnation, but the righteous will inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. So would you say that John the Baptist was one of those preachers who just wanted to make everybody feel comfortable on Sunday, happy with their present life, to get their best life now, that kind of thing? Or was he a preacher who was driven and pointed to having people seek their best life in the world to come? The answer, he was looking for the world to come, the future world. And so, next question we might ask then is, but what is that future world? What are you talking about? Two worlds, Pastor, one world and a second one. What's the future world, the kingdom to come, of which you speak? Well, the answer is, it is the kingdom of Christ, which God has promised and prepared for us, and which will be fully revealed at the return of our King, Jesus. This present world we live in is the first world, and this was made at the beginning of creation, right? We're still living in it, the one that was made when Adam was made. And created. And this world, though, we know fell into sin. And we can see that havoc everywhere today. Just open up the newspaper. What do you see about this world? Is it one that you want to live for? It's filled with, and as we see in the news, violence, envy, murder, hatred, lust, stealing, sickness, sorrow, sighing, and death. You just open up the newspaper, isn't that what you see? And that's been the case for centuries upon centuries, ever since Adam. That's this world. Of course, it's still a beautiful world, right? I mean, we've got mountains and trees and forests and rivers and seas. I love those things. And there's a lot of good done in this present age, this world, by those who know God, that is, the Christians. But know this about this world. Number one, that it's an evil world. Jesus said when his brothers came and talked to him in John chapter 7, the world can't hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. Evil. And Paul says that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. So this world is evil, this present age. Secondly, we know about this world that we're living in right now is it's passing. It's temporary. It's fleeting. It's just here a little while. It's not forever. It had its beginning, and it also has its end, and that end comes quickly. Even if people want to deny it, Paul says the form of this world is passing away. And Peter says the day of the Lord will come like a thief when this present world will vanish. Its days are numbered. It'll be rolled up, sort of like when you take off a shirt at the end of the day and you roll it up and throw it into your clothespin bin. Well, perhaps some of you women, if you look at your men's clothes, you might want to just throw them in there and burn them, never to be seen again. Well, that's what's going to happen with this world, and I'll tell you, thus saith the Lord. This world is doomed. And Jesus says the end of this world will come with a flood, as in the days of Noah, not by water, but by fire. Namely, that when it goes, it's going to go fast and in the blink of an eye. But then Peter tells us of the new world, but according to God's promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So there's two different worlds, right? There's the one to come, and there's this present age that we're living in. Where is your heart aimed at today? Well, what could we liken this present world, this present age we're living into today? I would liken it to the Titanic, that great ship that went down. For there's much beauty in it, and it's large, and it's still floating, but it's also been struck by an iceberg, the iceberg of sin, and sin always leads to death, and this world is destined for a plunge. It's just a matter of time, says Scripture, but God has granted us, get this, but a few brief hours to get everyone aboard the lifeboat of Christ, which he's prepared, which, by the way, Christ built for us with a few boards, a couple of nails, and his own blood, namely the cross. And you come aboard Jesus Christ, and you are saved. What a great lifeboat it is. For listen to this word. Peter says, Christ died for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. To bring us where? From this world to the next world. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That's great. But know that the time to get aboard this ship, this boat, is brief. It's a time of grace that's running out. Therefore, what did John the Baptist cry in the wilderness? Flee from the wrath to come. Don't live for a world that is sinking, but live for the world that has no end. Get aboard Christ and set out for that new world that's across the sea, beyond death, on a distant and further shore, to which this boat of Christ and his salvation is headed and will take you to. And so what is that new world like? What can we say of it? Again, Peter said, according to his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Goodness, no more harm and death and dying and sighing. It's a beautiful world, wondrous to behold. It's a better country than this one, and all the saints have hoped for it. Listen to what it says in the Bible of this of the Old Testament saints. Hebrews chapter 11 says, all the Old Testament saints died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, as like a distant light on the horizon. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking of this world, that little land in Israel, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So there's this present age and the one to come, and that's what all the saints have always sought. Is that what you are seeking today? And the saints of old lived on the Titanic, just as we did, but they didn't set up their hearts there or call it home. They sought the land across the sea, beyond death, a land flowing with milk and honey, which God had promised. And I want to ask you right now, do you believe in that place? Do you believe in that second world, that future kingdom? Well, how can we know it's there? If you're going to set out, you got to know it's there. I'll tell you, it's only as sure as God's word and as true as God is faithful. Let me say that again. It's only as sure as God's word and true as God is faithful. Jesus is from that land. He's told us about it. He's borne witness to it. Strive for that heavenly country. It's real that we may get there. It's a lot different from the abyss to which this present Titanic, this present world, is destined when Christ returns. It'll plunge into an abyss, and all those who love the Titanic more than the lifeboat will go down with the ship. But in our world, the country to which we belong, to which we're headed in Christ on his boat, it's said of that country, God himself will be with his people. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Where is your heart aimed at today? To live for this world or the next? Are you excited for that world? We'll see how at every point in Scripture, God points us to that heavenly, the different country, and to strive for it, to live for it, and not to live for this life, but to strive for that one while we're as yet here on this ship. Take, for example, Paul, who said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. David said, Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am thy passing guest, a sojourner like all my fathers. Is that how you see yourself, just passing through this life? I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, says David. He was looking to a different world, a future one. James says, Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him, the better world. And Jesus told a parable to this effect that we should only seek the world to come, that kingdom, and not this one. He says in Luke 12, The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought to himself, What shall I do? I've nowhere to store all my crops. He said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build larger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Eat, take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And these things you've prepared, whose will they be? So it is with everyone who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A fool seeks this world's riches, a wise man the one to come. In all Scripture, God points us to the coming kingdom, to set our hearts at it, our aim at it, to live for it, to strive for it, to die for it, and not to strive for the riches and honors and pleasures in this world, which are smoke. What did Jesus say? Strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter, and they'll not be able. So that's like if you're on the Titanic, there's a window of opportunity, right? Ship struck, it's going down, but there's a time to respond. A time of grace, if only the world would hear it, when whoever would get aboard the lifeboat of Christ can be saved. Because, let me tell you, once this Titanic of this world bows its head and lifts its stern, it'll go down fast. And then people will begin to scramble to get to the lifeboats. But by then, it will be too late. For the door will be shut, as Jesus says in one of his parables, and they'll cry outside, and he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of evil." Oh, that the world would hear the words of Paul when he said, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." And James says, don't put it off till tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. No one knows the time that this ship, this Titanic, this present age has left. And many will refuse to believe this, saying, "God himself could never even sink this ship." But we'll see. Well, who then is the wise man and who's the wise woman according to God? Well, let me tell you, it's the one who would listen to the preaching of John the Baptist and those who preached like him in all the scriptures. The one who lives for the world to come, and he or she that lays up his or her treasures there and not here. God says that is the wise man, that is the wise woman. And why, again, is that a wise thing to do? Well, number one, the world's passing away, like we said. Why would you live for the treasures of the Titanic once it struck the iceberg, huh? You'd have to be insane or ignorant. Secondly, even if people want to deny that this world, this present age, is going down and has an end, and they say, it's been here billions of years, it'll be here billions of years more, yet at the very least they cannot deny this point, that their days are numbered. For it says in the scripture, man is like a breath, and all his days are like a passing shadow. The years of our life are 70, or maybe by reason of strength, 80. Maybe some of you a little more than that. Yet their span is toil and trouble. They're soon gone, and we fly away. Days are short. Why would you live for a world that you can't keep for very long? And thirdly, it's wise to live for the world to come because it's eternal, and its rewards are eternal. And God has promised us that he will reward all of our work on this ship in this time of grace to get out there and help save other people, getting them on the ship, and to serve him in love. For hear the preaching of John the Baptist. He's looking to the world to come. What did he preach? The multitudes came and said, "What should we do?" He said to them, "He who has two coats, let him share with him who has none. He who has food, likewise." And then tax collectors, "What should we do? Collect no more than is appointed you." In other words, act justly. And soldiers, "What shall we do? Rob no one by violence or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." In other words, Christians are to be the best people in the entire world and the most active because we have a clear understanding of where this world's headed and of reality. And we know we can go to someone and say, "I'd like to share with you my pea coat, for the night on this sea will be cold. Here, take mine. Or I have extra food. What use is it for me on this ship? Here, take it with you. Take some of mine. Deal honestly." And we try to get people to wake up to the reality of their situation. The iceberg has struck this ship, and their souls will perish unless they get aboard Christ. And we take care to be on the lifeboat ourselves. Check this out. Wouldn't it be utter folly for us if we know that the ship has been struck and the water gushes into the bowels below? The great hulk of the steamliner lifts over. Food is falling off the tables. Chandeliers are crashing, just as we see, by the way, in the news every day. That's what you're looking at, the rollings of the Titanic. Don't be alarmed. That's what happens. Some people are getting into lifeboats, putting on life jackets, but then we would say, shuffleboard on the Lido deck, anyone? Or how about a game of bingo on the Acapulco deck? Or, hey, what's for dinner tonight, duck or venison? Wouldn't that be absolutely insane if you were on the Titanic and did such a thing? Well, it's insane for us not to be active. It's not fitting for us to walk around as if in a daze, like the rest of the world, living for the pleasures of this ship, when we know what we know. Not that we can't enjoy, by the way, the gifts that God gives us in life with thanksgiving. We definitely can. But we enjoy them like a passing guest, like you're staying at a hotel. I stay there, I might see a TV and use the pool, but I don't expect to own the TV or set my heart on the pool or to take up residence there, I know I got a heavenly country to which I'm headed. We're passing through this world, friends. We don't set our hearts on it. And there was a man on the Titanic, a very rich man, who had silver, gold, jewels, and a lockbox. But when that ship turned on its side, he left all of that behind, and he said he grabbed 3 oranges instead. Why? How could you leave all that money? It was asked later. He said, because at the time it seemed like utter foolishness. The 3 oranges were far more valuable to me. Let us also, therefore, live wisely in this age, knowing what we know, and set our hearts for our heavenly country across the sea. And I ask you right now, is that where your heart is aimed at? Your efforts, your striving, your energy in life? If not, today's the day of salvation. Let's go after it. It's a good time to serve the Lord. And let's never turn back once we've had the call. Never turn back to the world. Carl, I'll tell you what. I've met some who have believed the scriptures, repented of their sins, come to Jesus Christ's salvation, been baptized, started to walk with him, and at the first sign of trouble from the word, turn back. It's like you're on the Titanic. It's been struck, and you put on the life vest. You get to the lifeboat, but then your fellow passengers on the Titanic begin to ridicule you, saying, "You look utterly silly and foolish with that thing on. Take that off. Oh, those crazy Christians. This ship's not going down. Get away from that boat. Take off that silly life jacket. You look foolish. And join us in the dessert tray." And they go back. They go back. But remember what John warned. Do not love this world or the things of this world. For all that's in the world, if anyone loves the world, love for the Father's not in him. For everything that's in this world, everything, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all over the newspapers, all over the TV, all of that is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, will be doomed, and the lust of it, but the one who does the will of God, that person will abide forever. Get aboard the lifeboat, right? And I know you are. But children, it is the last hour, says John. Remember Demas and him in the Bible? He was in love with this present world, Paul says. And he turned back. And Israel, when they're on their way to the promised land, they said, "Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt." And Jesus warned, saying, "Remember Lot's wife when they fled the overthrow of the city. She turned back and was changed into a pillar of salt." But instead, let's be like Moses, where it's written, "He considered abuse suffered for the Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, which are fleeting, for he looked to the reward." Is that where your heart is aimed today, at the heavenly country? "For yet a little while," says the scriptures, "and the coming one, Jesus, shall come, and he won't tarry. But my righteous one will live by faith. But if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But then the author says, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and keep their souls." I don't want to be on the Titanic. I want to be on the lifeboat. And Jesus says, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and come after and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life, whoever wants to stay with that Titanic, he'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, gets on my boat, he will find his life." And then he says, "Now that you have your life jacket on, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We'll go save other people and we'll love them and I'll reward you for everything you do on this ship before it goes down." Isn't that great? It's the world to come that every piece of scripture points us to. And if you're going to get there, the new world, what do you need, friends? What do you need to do? You need to believe that there is such a land across the sea, a new world, and have a clear and brilliant vision of it. The world tells you, better is one bird in the hand than 2 in the bush. I'll live for what I see and feel and touch and taste here. Who knows what's there? But Jesus says of that country, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother, father, children or lands, for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold more. And this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Is there a world out there, friends? It's as sure as God's word and as true as God is faithful. Remember, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was to go. I haven't been to heaven. I haven't seen it. You haven't. Jesus is from that heavenly country. And he calls us to go out to a place we don't know, like Abraham. But we'll find it. Jesus says, you are from below, I'm from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins, unless you believe that I'm he. So how do you get there? By faith in him. If you believe that he is the Christ, the Savior, you will get there. Praise God. And see how Jesus calls us aboard with encouragement. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God's not stingily, like, forking it over to you. He wants to give it to you. He's itching. He can't wait to. And Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, bring us to the new kingdom, the new world, across the sea, that distant light on the horizon. Can you see it? He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, across the sea, there are many rooms. There's one prepared for you. I go to prepare it. And when I go and do that, I'm going to come again. I'm going to take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas says, we don't know the way. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So all aboard, I know you are. Praise God. Let's be active. Because right now, we're only seeing this through a mirror dimly, as if like through a spyglass, a distant light on the horizon. But I imagine I'll see there quiet walks and light and peace. And there shall be golden shores and great crowds cheering of angels and saints, saying, here she comes, and trumpets and all the bells of the city to ring, and great fanfare, the sound of victory and the presence of the king. And there in this land we might say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So, in conclusion, John the Baptist, he believed in and aimed at the world to come. How much more we who have 1,000 more encouragements than John? Because we live in the days after Christ has come. We know all his words. We know that he died and rose again for us and is coming again. How much more we? And at that shore, it is said, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, but the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Do You Live for This World or the World to Come? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.